Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. So Transfiguration Sunday, this wonderful reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Turns out it is a turning point, both in the literal sense of the word, or the literary sense of the word, but also in that theological sense of the word as well. Because in the Gospel of Matthew, not as much as in the Gospel of John, but in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has been declared at his baptism, he has healed, he has gathered his disciples around him, and in the 17th chapter, as he goes up the mountain and begins his journey to Jerusalem, something turns. And in the Gospel of Matthew, as Jesus begins to walk down the hill after Transfiguration, he is moving toward Jerusalem, where he will die. The theological shift in this particular text is that the divinity of Jesus is witnessed and evidenced by the appearance of the two great prophets. Moses, who went up on the mountain and saw God, and was, in fact, transfigured. His face shone white, and it was a transfiguration that lasted. And then also that wonderful, powerful prophet that all of us should listen to a bit more, perhaps, there also was Elijah, whose coming back was foretold. And so the disciples, in seeing this happen, suddenly begin to understand something new about Jesus. Well, in the text, they see the transfiguration happen. And what happens? Peter says, we need to hang on to this. We need to build a tent. We need to stay up on the mountain where this amazing thing has happened. What is the response from God and from Jesus when Peter says we should do this thing? They completely ignore him. It's as if he didn't say anything at all. It's sort of like in my confirmation class. It's as if Peter doesn't speak. And in a way, we come to understand from that moment that this is not a text about us. Perhaps more than most texts, this is a text about God. I mean, read Psalm 2. It's all about that God in Psalm 2 who is powerful and all-ruling and all-knowing. In this text, there is no moral imperative. There's no theological instruction. There is no sort of, you need to do this if you want to be a better person. There's no admonition toward growth. It is just a description of God, Jesus, in glory, followed by two commands. The first is, this is my son, my beloved, listen to him. Listen to him. And on hearing the voice, what do the disciples do who are there? They fall down in terror. They fall down and cower down at this voice that comes out from that illuminating cloud. They lean down and hunker down in fear. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Well, having heard that, maybe we should listen. So what are the first words that Jesus says after God commands us to listen to Jesus? Do you remember? He says, get up and don't be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid. That's what Jesus says to them. Immediately, he reaches down and he touches them and he says, get up and do not be afraid. If ever there was a time that we need to hear those words and listen to Jesus, that time is now. I think perhaps more than in most times in my career, what I hear from people on a regular basis is, I am afraid. No matter what your political stripe or where you fall in the political spectrum, it doesn't much matter. Almost daily, either on Facebook or in person, someone will say to me, I am afraid. I am afraid for my friends, and I am afraid for those who look different than I do. I am afraid for myself and for my future. We live in a deeply rooted culture of fear. I experienced it again on Friday when I went to the airport for an interview with the Customs and Border Patrol. If you ever need to know where it is at the airport, please call me. Because I can tell you that no one else in the airport who works there knows where it is. So I went in there for an appointment. I'm getting global entry because my daughter's moved to Europe. We're going to be going to Europe. And so I thought, well, let's make customs easier. I'll get the global entry program. So I was going in for my interview, which is anytime you're interviewing with the federal government, anyway, you feel a little bit nervous. So I was really nervous because I was running a little bit late. I couldn't find the place. And I walked in there and I handed him my passport, and he says, well, hang on a second, I'll be right back. And then they took my passport around the corner. And the anxiety starts to go up a little bit, right? For no reason, honestly. I've not committed any crimes that I'm aware of. And then this female officer came out, and she said, sir, I don't have you on my schedule. And the anxiety just got even worse. Because in the GOES program, if you miss your appointment, you have to start all over again. And you don't want to do that. And I was like, oh my goodness, no, I changed my appointment. It was supposed to be in May, but there was an opening. And I'm kind of explaining. She says, hang on a second. And she takes the passport around the corner. And I'm getting more fearful. And then she comes around and she puts her hand on her hip and she says, sir, your appointment is at 1:30, not 1 o'clock. I'm sorry for being early. So I waited and she came and she got all my stuff and they took my fingerprints and we were waiting for the fingerprints to come back. And she says, no, why are you applying for this program? And I explained. And then she says, well, my husband and I are never going to Europe, or not going to Europe. And I said, well, why? And she said, because we're afraid. We're afraid. Too much terrorism. Too much stuff going on in Europe. And then she said, in fact, we've not been to the mainland for 17 years. I said, well, why? And she says, too much violence. I'm afraid. And because I was being interviewed by the federal government, I didn't say, well, have you been to Waikiki lately? Because I got to tell you. But she's an example of what's happening in the world, that we have become so afraid. And we, as Willow said earlier, we push the panic button so quickly. I think we need to hear the words of Jesus to the disciples. Get up and don't be afraid. For as long as we continue to be afraid, as long as we continue to be cowed down, then we cannot proclaim the gospel as God's people. Get up, Jesus says to the disciples. There is work to do. Do not be afraid. The voice says, this is my son, listen to him. And so what is the word to which we need to listen? First, the first thing, don't be afraid. The second thing is don't forget. don't forget what Jesus says. The words that Jesus says to the disciples and to us is, look, God is in the world. Dropping God's phone. I thought that was awesome. God is in the world, and the iPhone goes flying away on Faith and Art Sunday. Yeah, God is in the world and is not being boxed in by any party or by any person or by any religion, but God is in the world for all of God's world for God's people. Get up and do not be afraid to say so. Do not be afraid to tell about God's love for God's people. Do not be afraid to act as God's love for God's people. For God, who is the author of our very selves and our passions and our meaning, is still in the world for you and for our future. Get up and do not be afraid to say, look, I love you. Even though you are different than me, and maybe even have a different religion than me, I am still called as God's person to be love for you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to express yourself in art and beauty, poetry and challenge. It feels like these days we are being called to lay down and wait, to hunker down afraid, afraid for ourselves and for the world. But we are being called to get up, do not be afraid, and go with Jesus to the cross. It's astonishing how Mark always knows I'm coming to the end. And then there is one other command. And going down the hill, Jesus says to the disciples, and by the way, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Well, we've done a good job of not telling anyone. But newsflash, and this is not fake news, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And it is time for us, as God's people of hope, to proclaim Christ's love and presence and God's power and majesty and peace to a world that is afraid, and to be love for that world in this very moment. So get up and do not be afraid. Amen.